What's up, Wikimaniacs? Support for today's episode comes from True Classic. This brand new sponsor has the absolute best fitting t-shirts a man can buy. Finding the right t-shirt with a little bit of a dad bod is incredibly frustrating. Trust me, I know. Most t-shirts are either way too tight on your gut or look way too big and boxy. You're not in high school anymore, my guy, and it's time to upgrade. True Classic has already helped over 2 million men finally get a better fit at an affordable price. Our listeners get access to the best deal they offer. For a limited time only, you can get 25% off with the code Reddit at trueclassic.com. Again, that's promo code Reddit at trueclassic.com.
Hello, internet friends, and welcome to Go Ask Alice, the show where we jump down random internet rabbit holes and bring you wonderful factoids from our adventures in Wiki Wonderland.
I'm Drew, a forensic scientist, and my favorite word is sesquipedalian.
I'm Lindsay, and I have resting friend-making face.
And I'm Sarah, and I am in a constant state of existential crisis.
Our travels through Wikipedia could lead us anywhere, so you never know what interesting topic you're going to hear about. Places we've previously visited on Wikipedia include...
I ended up on a book called The Book of Wonders, or The Book of Surprises.
The Legend of the Cock Lane Ghost.
Mimics from D&D.
Cursed Tablets.
Listen by searching for Go Ask Alice wherever you get your podcasts.
We
are.
We are.
We are Cultivate.
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 We are Cultivate.
Do it! Just do it!
Expert in fucking that or not.
Great power.
For the fifth time, it's your boy Sean.
What's up, Wikimaniacs? My name is Josh Shell, and I am your host for this episode of Reddit on Wiki. With me is my good friend, John Consignato. What is up, John?
Sean is no longer Mr. Reliable. I took that mantle back, baby.
Oh my god. I'm the most reliable one.
True.
That's my mantle.
No!
But yes, Sean is off today. I think someone must have sent him some money via Venmo.
I think they probably gave him a lot of money for him to take a break today.
So. Yeah. I think he went to Italy, I believe. No,
we want our cut, Sean.
Yeah, come on, Sean. What the hell? But in his place is someone near and dear to our hearts. Please welcome our returning guest, Lindsay Valenti from Ye Olde Crime Podcast. How's it going, Lindsay?
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
We didn't scare you off with the confessions episode. I think that's
no,
the one you're on.
That was fun. I want to do that again.
Not that our baby boy is not here. We could do it again.
We could. Unfortunately, only am I the asshole today, Lindsay. I'm sorry. But
it's fine. Next time.
Yeah. We do have some amazing stories today, though, because on today's episode, we have a sister-in-law who can't pay rent. A friend talks back to a wife.
Oh.
A job applicant gets an interviewer fired, and someone brings a baby to a child-free wedding.
Automatic asshole.
No.
And on top of that, we have our bonus Patreon story. So if you would like that, as well as ad-free episodes, you can go to our patreon.com/cultivatepodcastnetwork and sign up today. We used to say week early episodes, but struggling just to keep above water right now.
Fair.
The summer is busy and so am I. So they are somewhat early and they're always ad free and you get a bonus story over on our Patreon. So go sign up today. On top of that, if you're a returning listener, please consider giving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or why not share the podcast with a friend? And if you have a story you would like us to cover, you can send it to us via email at redditonwikipod@gmail.com. Or DM us on Instagram at Reddit on Wiki. Links to everything I just mentioned are in the show notes below. So with all of that housekeeping out of the way, are we ready to hop into some stories?
Doesn't it feel empty without Sean shilling his, if you could send me $25 to my Venmo, Wikimaniacs?
Right. Lindsay, what's your Venmo?
Oh, it's Lindsay Dash.
So as a Canadian, we don't have Venmo here. I've never mentioned that, but it's not a thing in Canada. We just have bank transfers.
Oh, Canada.
Jumping into our first story of the day. Am I the asshole for making my sister-in-law pay above average rent for one bedroom?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes, but let's
Proceed.
You price gouging in this economy?
That's my just capitalism, goodness. Baby.
Oh my God.
I forgot to mention too, there's no listener submitted stories this episode. It's all Reddit. I felt without Sean here, it's not right. You know, if we come across a listener asshole, and Sean's not there to call them out. He would be very upset. He would be very upset. So
that's like our baby taking a first step and he missed it.
And we didn't get it on video.
I know, right?
Because he wouldn't watch it anyway.
That's true. Just have like a bunch of Easter eggs on every episode and Sean will never find it because he will never watch again.
It's like there was one episode probably a few weeks ago now where I zoomed in on Sean's face. I had no idea. So back to the sister-in-law paying above average rent. I am 100% being petty here, but curious if I'm actually wrong. Most of my husband's family think I'm being childish and need to let go of the past, as my sister-in-law can't afford this, but her behavior towards us in the past makes me feel this is warranted. 2 years ago, my house burnt to the ground after being struck by lightning. Thankfully, it was during the day, so our three kids were at school and my husband and I were at work. We lost everything, but we were safe. It took almost 11 months for the insurance to pay out. The insurance covered 1 month worth of a hotel stay, but after that we were made to fend off for ourselves, and the only option we had was to move in with my sister-in-law. She tells us we can have her spare room and her office space since she uses neither of the rooms, and her stipulations were we needed to purchase all our own food and pay her $100 a week. By week three, all of that had changed. She then decided we needed to pay her $250 a week. Ooh. And we can only use one of the rooms.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that's a switch up. That's over double payment and then half the space.
with three children.
Five people. Yeah, that's crazy. So all five of us were crammed in the smallest room she had, which was the size of a glorified closet space and didn't even fit a twin size and a small dresser. So we lived out of trash bags and slept on the floor for close to $1,000 a month and still had to purchase all of our own food, despite her claiming my children on her food stamps.
Oh,
that's fucked.
And she benefited from, oh my God.
Yeah, free food for her. She also had no bills outside of her land tax, which was $450 a year, electric and heating oil, which she hardly ever filled. So we were essentially paying for her so she could do leisure activities. It was the worst 8 months of my life. I'm starting to side with her, I think.
I am too.
Yeah, at this point, I'm like, yeah.
So 3 months ago, my grandma decided that she wanted to go to an assisted living facility after a fall and transferred the deed of her house to me and basically said it was mine now. It is a 5-bedroom farmhouse. My boys insisted on sharing a room, so we have 2 extra bedrooms. Well, my sister-in-law lost her house last month due to not paying her land tax for several years. So she wasn't even using the money to pay.
God. Dang, bro.
And she asked if she and her stepdaughter could stay with us until they get enough money to move down south. I said, sure, 1 bedroom, $800 a month. And you have to buy and cook all of your food separately because my daughter is vegan. I don't know if you had to make that stipulation. It sounds like you would made her do that anyway.
Yeah.
She looked at me like I had 10 heads and said that she and her stepdaughter should not be made to share a room when there are 2 extra rooms and stated she cannot afford a rent of $800 while purchasing all of her own food on top of it. I said neither could we, but we managed to cram 5 people into a glorified closeted space while you were getting $1,000 and food stamps. Take it or leave it. She decided to leave it. Again, I am being told I'm childish. So am I the asshole?
No. I think it's a justifiable asshole, though.
Yeah, I think kind of. I think you're kind of an asshole, but like, as you said, John, justified. Like, it's karma at this point for this person.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is family, and you should try to look out for family as much as you can, but she was kind of a piece of shit to you and your family, so.
See, this kind of hits home to me because when we first moved to the U.S., we kind of had that situation with the crappy side of my family. So, you know, my parents were immigrants, not having jobs yet, and they expected us to pay almost immediately. We were cramped up in a room. We couldn't even use the bathrooms at night. The only way we could use a bathroom is I had to learn the schedule of the planes coming from the airport. And when I hear it coming, I would run to the bathroom, pee, then go so I could flush it.
Oh, so they wouldn't hear you.
Yeah. Otherwise, if they hear me flushing the toilet, they'd be like, why are you wasting so much water?
I'm
like,
really?
What?
Yeah, it was bad. Like, I had the worst experience, like, growing up, like, when I first moved to the States. Like, I wanted to go back so fast.
Oh, Jesus.
But I think in this situation, it's, like, a justifiable asshole, like I said, just because family sometimes is a complicated thing. Like, you would think blood will take care of you, but at times, they could be, like, your worst nightmare at some point, too.
Oh, like, I definitely feel like it was justified assholery, if you want to call it that. Just because she'd made their lives hell for 8 months and she totally profited from their misfortune. 1,000%. So
$1,000%.
That's $1,000
for 8 months too. Yeah. So I think, yeah, I think you're definitely not the asshole, like reactionary asshole maybe, but that's just a shitty thing for your sister-in-law to do to initially. And then I agree. I mean, if anything, it kept her from living with you guys, which probably best case anyway. So hopefully she realizes what she's done and maybe gets a little taste of her own medicine and then learns from this.
The only thing that I'm actually kind of sad about, though, is the daughter kind of getting lumped into this. So in that point, I do give the OP like somewhat of an asshole grade as well, just because the daughter is being affected. But in the same token, like the sister-in-law did decide like, hey, I don't give a damn about your five children. You guys will like get stuck in there.
But you are right about that. Actually, I didn't think about that. So I guess if you wanted to make kind of a amends, you could maybe take in her daughter if you have the means and then, you know, support her because it sounds like she doesn't have a mother figure that's
stable.
So and again, I wouldn't call you an asshole if you didn't, but I just think that would be a nice thing and maybe a way to start the men towards, you know, making things right between each other. But that's up to you if you do that. So
unless the stepdaughter is an asshole too, then by all means charge that ass as well. Goddamn.
Oh, you could charge maybe a little bit, but
you watch she's like two or something, she doesn't even
That's true.
You little asshole.
Get out of here.
I don't know. Josh is rivals with his upstairs neighbors.
That's true.
That's true.
That kid's like two. Bouncing a ball last night at 11:30 at night. I was like, what the fuck?
Charge them rent, Josh.
I wish I could. So, agreed, not really the asshole. Maybe a little bit, but yeah.
Little tiny booty hole.
You're okay. So we're going to move on to our next story. Am I the asshole for putting my friend's wife in her place and getting in trouble for it?
Doesn't sound like you're off to a good start, but we'll see how
context.
It plays out.
I need context.
We need context. Okay.
So my 28-year-old male childhood best friend, Tom, 28-year-old male, and our other best friend, Kayla, 27-year-old female, have known each other since forever. That's a bit of hyperbole, but...
So you've probably known each other for at least 28 years, right?
Yeah, or at the at most. Least 27 with Kayla.
27, yes. I can't math. The math ain't mathing for me.
Since the womb.
Yes. We're brother and sister, actually. Triplets. We went to primary school and high school together. We stayed in the same neighborhood since we were kids, and we still live three blocks apart from each other. Since our teenage years, we had some traditions that we are not willing to compromise on. One of those traditions is that we always plan a fishing trip, which lasts a week, once or twice a year. Since he got with his wife, he still comes to the fishing trips, but Kayla and I can tell his wife is not too happy about it. But at the end of the day, we don't care since Tom clearly enjoys it. Tom and his wife now have two kids, a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. Since the 5-year-old was born, there were implications that he won't be coming to the fishing trips anymore. But Kayla and I convinced him it's no big deal and it's just 2 weeks out of the year. After he was 2 years old, the same conversation was born again. We could tell his wife was nagging him about it. Oh, that is, that's not a great way to put that. You mean she wanted him around the house to help with the kids? Yeah, that's fair. So it's around time for our fishing trip again. Kayla and I visited Tom a couple days ago to discuss the plans. Then his wife spoke and said that we can't arrange a fishing trip on those days we wanted to because she's got a trip with friends as well and someone has to stay behind with the kids. Tom got frustrated and told her, "Didn't you think about discussing it with me first?" To which she replied that she doesn't have to since he never discusses his plans with her. This sounds like just a communication problem between them two, but just as a side note, but... He kept telling her to postpone the trip for another time, and she refused. Kayla and I got so mad at how aggressive Tom's wife was. Also, I don't like that he's calling her Tom's wife and not her name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A name? She's a person. Give her a name.
Oh, maybe it's for confidentiality, though. But
I mean, like, you could make up a name. Yeah. It's just always like Tina. His wife. Like that's all his she is Tina. His wife. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Tom's
you
can wife. Make up any- Wilson.
Wilson. So Kayla and I got so mad at how aggressive Tom's wife was, and we could tell she was being petty, and I told her to remember her place and stay out of our fucking business, and that this is a tradition we've had since we were teens, and her little girl's trip could wait for another time.
Damn.
Holy shit.
Bruh.
Yeah, not great.
No. Shit.
Kayla agreed with me, but Tom all of a sudden went from scolding his wife to yelling at me for daring to speak to his wife like that. Hell yeah, Tom. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked because I thought he'd appreciate me standing up for him, but apparently I offended him. He then kicked me and Kayla out of their house and demanded an apology. I am extremely confused because I thought we were on the same page. Am I the asshole?
Yes.
I'm going with everyone's the asshole in this situation.
Yeah, everyone kind of sounds like a bunch of dicks.
I think this dude's asshole times 100.
Like, yeah.
Compared to everyone else.
Oh, yeah. He's the bigger butthole for sure. Yeah. Like, he's a bigger asshole. Yeah. But I think everyone is an asshole and everyone sucks at communicating.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't know. It is weird that Tom and his wife, and I don't know her name, so I just have to call her his wife.
Tom's wife. Wilson.
Tom's wife.
Wilson. Tom and Wilson had this conversation in front of their friends, which is a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should have maybe discussed that privately and had more open communication to what their plans were, because you have two kids. That seems like a smart idea to schedule and plan together.
Mm-hmm.
But to butt into someone else's personal life and
that's
relationship.
That's a whole different, yeah.
To tell her to stay in her place. Like, what is her place? Being his wife, as you keep calling him, her?
Sorry. Tom's wife.
Wilson!
Like, this dude just sounds like an incel who's never gotten in a relationship, so he doesn't understand that there's compromises to be made on both sides. And
yeah,
I don't know. That's my first thought anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Tom's wife is...
Wilson.
Wilson!
Wilson! Wilson! She's an asshole because all of a sudden, even though for years he hasn't been able to go on these fishing trips, or he's like begrudgingly been allowed to go on these fishing trips, now all of a sudden her trip is like super top priority. Like, that's a dick move.
My only contention with that, Lindsay, would be it sounds like he still goes on these trips, mm-hmm. and he goes on it once or twice a year. But we don't know, like, if his wife ever goes on trips or if she ever gets a break. You know what I mean? Like, there's that missing context of how often does she actually get to go on trips. So there's a potential where she's maybe just like, okay, I've had enough of your shit. I want a break. I need a break. I'm going on a trip. So that's there fair. Is a potential that she might not be the asshole. I just want to put that out there. Not saying she isn't, but that's just a context that I think is missing from this guy's story.
Yeah, but on that token, though, like, I think I know where Lindsay's coming from. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you're gonna like act like lash out like that, you probably need to work on your communication skills between husband and wife. You know, like, I feel like she probably knew where the tradition that, you know, like you said, the tradition's been long standing there that they've been doing it. And then, like what Lindsay was saying, like, all of a sudden the trip is a top priority. The way that, like, she kind of was like, I'm going to go whether you like it or not. Like, it kind of in that context, it was kind of more of like a petty reaction, but an understandable petty reaction. Because like you said, Josh, who freaking knew when's the last time she was able to take a break? So
yeah,
that's where I was going with that is like, it just seemed like if she planned it purposefully on a time when they would traditionally be going on this fishing trip,
right?
That's very petty. But at the same time, having this miscommunication and having a conversation about this trip in front of your friends that you're supposed to be going on the trip with, that's really icky. And I don't know if that's something that they kind of bombarded him with that out of the blue. Yeah. Like, we're going to confront you. You have to go on this fishing trip, and whether your wife likes it or not, Wilson. You know, that's makes the friends assholes. But definitely the guy that's like, yeah, know your place. I would have kicked that guy in the teeth. Like,
yeah, he would no longer be my friend.
He would no longer be fishing for your teeth, my guy. That's what you're going to be doing if you say that.
He would no longer be welcome in my house. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's crossing a line.
Yeah. The way he puts it, it just seems very misogynistic and like, oh, you should be put in your place. You're the caregiver. You take care of the kids kind of thing.
Yeah, you take care of the kids. Like, you don't get vacations. We have our planned vacations.
And to give Tom some credit, it does not sound like he agrees with that at all. So, you know, props to Tom for standing up to his friends and kicking him out.
Yeah.
because, you know, lesser men would just let them say that and then, you know, side with them. So, I mean, good for Tom in that scenario, but he definitely has to work on his communication skills with his wife for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Tom is the asshole at all in this situation. I feel like he was kind of put in an unfortunate place between his buds and his wife. And but yeah, sticking up for his wife, that's kudos to you.
Yeah.
Tom.
Give him a plus.
Props to Tom. And then Kayla just sounds like a kind of a secondary asshole for.
Yeah.
Just like a secondhand asshole. Like, you know, she's just a smoke that's just lingering around there.
Yeah, exactly. She's just there.
just to add with that, too, like, I think the friends probably, like, I'm still going to stick with, I think everyone sucks in this scenario. Mm-hmm. But okay. I think the friends still need a little more of the growing up, just because it's like, once kids get in an equation, you have to realize that you are no longer the priority, no matter what traditions you have.
Yep.
The kids, whoever's watching them, they have to come first, and family always comes first. So, they need to grow up. They need to fish something else for that.
You need to just pick a different weekend or something. Like, you need to be more understanding that it's not easy to just drop your kids off with somebody or not talk to your wife about wanting to go on a week-long fishing trip on the off chance. Yeah. Yes, she has plans.
Let Wilson have her vacation.
So, I kind of think everyone sucks in this scenario, but I think the OP is definitely the biggest asshole in this scenario.
Yeah, the biggest one.
Yeah, Mr. Proud Boy over there. He can...
And on that note, we're going to kick it to a commercial break. Thanks, Lindsay.
So, no problem.
Please listen to some sponsors and maybe we can pay Sean to come back to the podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name's Matt.
I'm Brent.
And we host ReviewParty.com. It's the only podcast that reviews internet reviews from Amazon, Yelp, Google, and all of the others.
I think we got a little clip to share.
I listen to the sex scene at 3 times the normal audio speed because it's just so sleazy. For me, emotional attachment is vital to a good romance book. Those of my ilk should pass on this series. 1 star.
So Belle doesn't like getting freaky unless it's in sort of a traditional loving relationship.
Yes, unless she knows you.
Do be a huge fan of smut.
I mean, she comments on how sleazy it is. She's like, I gotta put up with this.
You gotta put up with this sleaze in my sleazy book. It's like going to KFC being like, I got the crispy chicken, but this is a little crispy, you know what I mean?
So you eat it 3 times the normal speed just to get through it.
You can find ReviewParty.com wherever you listen to podcasts.
Every Tuesday Reviews Day and at ReviewParty.com.
And we are back. We hope you enjoyed those sponsors, whatever they were this week. How are we doing so far? Any big assholes stand out to you? We got through two now.
So far, the friend. What's his name?
OP.
He didn't give his, he didn't give OP? His name.
Yeah, you better be scared to give your name.
But we will move on to our third story of the day. So, am I the asshole for getting my interviewer fired?
That's kind of messed up.
I was going to say, you're an interviewer, John.
As an HR professional, as someone who does interviews for a living, if you get me fired, boy, my previous job, I can find you wherever you are.
Oh, God.
I still got clearances, so don't mess with me.
I'm scared now. John's the asshole in this scenario. Yeah.
I am, so don't get me fired. See what happens.
So John will never be fired from the podcast. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just kidding, guys. Please don't hold that against me. I am not a government entity. Please do not cancel me. I do not do those type of things.
Yeah, I've done a couple, like been on the interviewer side a couple times. I don't know how this would happen. So we're gonna dive in and see how that would be a possibility. It'd have to be something really fucked up.
Yeah. I've conducted some interviews too, but I can't think of any reason why I would get fired for it. So
Lindsay's just hitting on her.
Yeah, but I was gonna say it's probably
what are you doing after this?
Yo, girl, you looking so fine. How's your social media game, girl?
How
stop
good
objectifying
are
you? Me.
Brown Work. Chicken, brown cow.
Oh, we're all gonna be fired soon. Diving into the story. So I, 27-year-old female, went for a job interview for a potential job opportunity at this company. The interviewer, we'll call him Eddie, 30-ish, welcomed me to the office and had me sit down. First thing he did was look at my CV, then started asking me questions that seemed a little too personal and unrelated to the job.
Mm.
Like asking if I was in a relationship, whether my eye color was real or just lenses, and also asked about how I spend my time when I'm alone and what types of dudes I like.
Boy, that's
legit personal questions.
Yeah, you deserve to get fired. Yeah, now.
Soup's inappropriate.
Already, yeah. This reminds me, if you guys have watched Superstore?
Yes.
Yes.
Great show. The very first episode when Dina's interviewing Jonah and she's just like, so are you in a relationship? And he's like, I don't know if you can ask that. That's the vibe I'm getting right now.
The answer is no.
Yeah, always no. Yeah, you can't ask me that. So don't know if he was testing how I react, but I kept cool till he asked me the question of what my greatest weakness was. I responded by saying, keeping up with your inappropriate questions and answering them politely.
That's a nice clap back.
She's hired. That's a great answer. I like to chalk that up for a de-escalation. Great at communicating. Oh, man. Like, this is green flags for me as an interviewer.
Oh, absolutely. So he looked at me upset and told me that I had an attitude. And it was clear the interview was over. He told me I didn't get the job, which I found quite unfair because I don't think I deserve to lose the job over what? Nothing. Mm-hmm. I got into an argument with him and then told him I was going to report him.
Good.
It's fair. Yeah, you should absolutely do that. I went to speak to the supervisor and filed the complaint against Eddie. The supervisor apologized to me and tried to reschedule a new interview, but I was hesitant about it. Later, I was told that Eddie got fired, which made me feel guilty. My mom and dad agreed that his questions were inappropriate, but said that I went too far by reporting him and having him fired.
Oh, no.
No.
Eddie tried contacting me via email, saying that what I did could have been resolved between us, and even said that he would have arranged a new interview for me, but I ruined it for myself and cost him his job. So am I the asshole?
Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Fuck your parents for siding with him. Like, what the fuck?
And it's like, honestly, if that's the kind of person you'd have to be working with, you dodged a bullet.
Oh, absolutely.
Facts. Even if, say, you did report him anyway and they didn't do anything, that's not a place you want to be working if they're going to be like, oh, yeah, no. Sleazy Eddie gets to still keep his job. That's just, you know.
Bam. Almost guarantee that's not even the first time he did that. Like,
yep.
You might have just saved like dozens of other interviewees that now don't have to be sexually assaulted or whatever you classify this. I think I'd classify it as that. It's
harassment. It's harassment.
Harassment. So, sexual harassment. Sorry. Yeah, that's probably more correct. And like you didn't get him fired. What you did was reported the situation and the company made steps to fire him. It's not you that made him get fired. It's his actions that made him get fired and the company reacting to his reactions, which... I mean, firing him, that probably indicates that this has been a previous
absolutely
thing. Yeah. It's not a one strike and you're out rule. It's usually anyway, unfortunately. Unfortunately.
It depends on how severe, but I mean, I almost guarantee you this was not his first offense at all. They wouldn't have gone through the process of letting him go if this was his first offense.
Which is unfortunate because it should be a one and done. Like if you sexually harass someone, you should just be fired. But I mean, good on the company for doing the right thing in this situation. I don't know why your parents think you're in the wrong. You're definitely not. There's no scenario where you'd be in the wrong here.
Yeah, no.
And I'm getting like a super creepy vibe that Eddie would take an extra mile to one. How did you find out about the email? So you probably have to kept. That contact information, because otherwise if you were just a recruiter or just a hiring manager, you probably won't even care about their details because a recruiting coordinator or someone else might be doing all the arrangement for you in terms of like contacting them. So Eddie had to go out of his way to just be like, what the hell is her contact information
to continue to harass her?
There's more to it than what's being said.
I'd even go a step further. If he continues to contact you, I'd contact the police.
Yeah,
and get them involved, because this is like beyond inappropriate. So yeah, it's unfortunate you didn't get the job. I hope they actually tried to get you back in and for an actual interview.
If I was her, I wouldn't even go through that because now she's there's probably some sort of retaliation that might happen, even though it's like not on purpose. But I'm pretty sure Eddie got some buddies over there, and Eddie's buddies probably just as creepy as he is. So.
You might be right, actually. Yeah,
I think at this point, it's like what Liz was saying. If there's some sort of panel that has that, and even if that wasn't like the first strike, that's got to be some flawed company culture that they have to allow them to keep letting interviewers, you know, screen candidates that are like that. So I would dodge that company like forever.
Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, okay, I'll play devil's advocate. Like, she could have asked for a different interviewer. He still would have been there. He still would have been part of the company. So there really was no other recourse she could have taken where it would have ended up in her favor. You know what I mean? Yes. As far as working at the company.
Because if she got the job, she's working in the same office building with him, who's probably going to, you know, he's already shown that he'll steal her email from somewhere else. Like, what else will he do to continue to harass her? So it just baffles me that people do this kind of thing. Like, why do you think interviewing's, like, it's not your personal speed dating?
It's not.
You know what I mean? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, Eddie's a piece of shit, and I hope he doesn't get another position of power. So definitely not the asshole.
You did a good job.
Good job at not getting the job.
Yeah. Kudos.
That's the best. You're not getting a job.
Up. Yeah. That's what you're doing. You're failing up.
Do the company and then you don't need a job.
Bam.
All right. So we're going to move on to our final Am I the Asshole for today? Well, unless you're a patron, you get an extra job. Am I the Asshole after this? So, am I the asshole for bringing my baby to a child-free wedding?
Yes. Yeah. So far. So far.
We'll see context, but off the gate, yes. Yes.
That's fair. I would also probably agree. So, my cousin lives a six-hour drive from me and the rest of our family. A few months ago, we all drove out over there for his wedding. Due to limited space, no children were invited to the wedding except the bride's young nieces and nephews. My baby was 10 months old at the time, and I wasn't comfortable leaving him alone in an unfamiliar place with a stranger, which was a babysitter that my other cousin hired for their own kids. So I decided to bring him to the wedding. I wrote on the RSVP that I was bringing him, but he would be sitting on my laps, and I would bring his own food for him. My cousin didn't say anything, so I assumed that he was okay with it. I love how she's just like, they said no kids. But I decided I'm bringing
but
a kid.
I was like, this kid's special. It doesn't apply to me.
It's my world and you're just all living in it. So I'm doing what I want. My baby cried at the ceremony, but I quickly took him out of the room. At the reception, I had him with me the whole time in a body carrier. He didn't make much of a fuss and I thought everything was okay. After the wedding, my aunt, the groom's mom, confronted me and told me that it was rude for me to bring my baby without permission.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I explained that I wrote on the RSVP what I was planning to do, but my cousin didn't object. She said that my cousin and his bride had a problem with it, but the bride didn't want to start any drama because she doesn't know me that well. Fair.
That is fair.
My other cousin's baby was 7 months old at the time, and my aunt said that he had no problem leaving his baby with a certified babysitter, and I should have done the same. And some of my cousins were upset because they thought the groom gave me special treatment by letting me bring my baby and making them leave their kids with a babysitter. Yep. I didn't mean to start any drama. Am I the asshole?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Like, okay. If I wrote an RSVP, I don't want what everyone's having. I want a nice tomahawk steak with filet mignon and some lobster tail on the side. I don't know what everyone's having. You know, it's just, I get
That's that same vibe.
Like, like, I think it's entitlement at this point. Like, to me, it seems like you feel like you're a main character in a story.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you didn't have the proper babysitter, or if you weren't comfortable with the designated babysitter you had, you could have said no and stayed at home and not go through the wedding. Like, I feel like even though they didn't respond to you, I would rather wait for them to give a confirmation saying a yay or a nay instead of just making that decision without their consent. You know what I mean? Because it's their special day. Yep. I get it. You just had a kid, but you're
even then, even if you were to like reach out to them and be like, hey, is this okay? You're still putting them in a situation where they have to uncomfortably say no to you or uncomfortably say yes, because they feel awkward about saying no to you. Yeah. And that's unfortunate. Like, that's a terrible position you're putting your cousin and his now wife in, because it's not fair to them because they made the rule and it's supposed to apply to everyone. And you don't get to just skirt around the rule. It's not like I can go out and murder someone and be like, oh, it's okay because I didn't feel comfortable with that person being alive.
So. Bringing a baby, then murdering somebody. Holy crap.
You need to stop hanging out in your murder dungeon.
The rules don't apply to me, guys.
It's because he's white.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just
kidding. I was trying to like think of any instance where it would have been okay, and I can't think of one. Like, at first, I was like, well, maybe you know, like if your kid had some sort of medical thing, well, you'd be home. You wouldn't have brought it.
Yeah. The worst case scenario is you stay home. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Or if you have a husband, I don't know if you do, or a wife, you know, one of you stays home and one of you goes to the wedding. Like it's unfortunate, but it's your child. You got to take care of it if you don't feel comfortable leaving with the babysitter. So you just miss out on some events.
You could have been taking it to another step where, like, yes, it sounds like kind of absurd, but you can have left it with the certified babysitter and just be like, hey, I want updates like every 5 minutes or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just like
you could have left the baby and just gone to the ceremony and not even stayed for the reception.
You know,
I mean, granted, it's a 6-hour drive. So that is kind of a.
It's haul. A long. Yeah, you're right.
But
the baby's 10 months old. It can take care of itself.
Just leave it in a swing.
Give it some treats.
It's fine, right?
Figure
one of
it
those
out.
Little hamster water things full of baby formula. It's fine.
Yeah, it'll be okay. Have them crawl around the ball. Make me electricity, baby.
Were you good while mommy was gone, Wilson?
Maybe this is the girl's trip that the girl had with the original. The first story.
My husband was fishing, so I couldn't leave him at home.
I couldn't go to a wedding. Wilson couldn't go to a wedding.
But yeah, you're absolutely the asshole in this situation.
Yeah.
Rules apply to everyone, and to cause any commotion during someone else's wedding day is you're definitely the asshole in any scenario. So
shout out to you for being a loving mom, though. So I give you that at least.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, I guess, but that's not what the question is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But you are an asshole mom.
Yeah.
You're an asshole cousin. You're a good mom.
Yeah.
Good mom. Asshole cousin. There you go.
Yeah.
Let's end it at that.
Yep.
But with that, we will wrap up this episode. So what did you guys think? Were these people assholes or were they not assholes?
Or is everyone an asshole?
Or is everyone an asshole? That is an option as well. We
everyone
forget that.
Has no one can, an asshole. But doesn't
everyone
mean they need to be one.
I would say not everyone. There's probably someone out there without an asshole.
How would they? I don't want to think about it.
Well, if you made it this far, now you're thinking about it. So thank you for sticking with us this whole episode. Before we kick off to end the show, Lindsay, you have a podcast.
I do.
It's called Ye Olde Crime. Would you like to tell the Wikimaniacs about Ye Olde Crime podcast?
I would love to. Ye Olde Crime Podcast is a show that I do with my sister Madison every week, where we talk about funny, strange, and obscure crimes that take place pre-1900s. So a lot of our cases typically talk about murder, but we've done some really interesting ones about like animal crimes. We've done some...
Done witches.
Done a lot witches. Of witches.
Although there is usually murder in those as well.
Yeah.
Lots.
Usually ends with... The witch is not surviving, but lots of poisonings. And every once in a while, we'll sneak in some really obscure stuff, you know, like talk about a bunch of penis stuff in Rome. So,
okay, you just slip that in.
Just slip that in there. I think my favorite part is the fact that they used to try to hit up men for sexual favors in the graveyard. So, that's where I think the term graveyard shift came from. me.
Oh, whoa. Learning a lot about ancient Rome, Jesus.
Because I know when I'm horny, the first place I want to go is the graveyard.
Yeah, you like to bone there, huh?
With all them bones.
Give a little headstone. That is awesome. Yeah, so definitely go check out Ye Olde Crime if you want to learn about
graveyard
penises. Really selling it for you, Lindsay.
Boning in the boneyard.
Brown chicken, brown cam.
But we'll have links to her podcast down in the show notes, so definitely go check it out. Thank you, Lindsay, for coming on and espousing your wisdom as you always do. You'll definitely be back. You're our guest
definitely
that's been on the most, I think.
I want to say yes.
Yeah, 3 or 4 times now. So you'll definitely be on again. We appreciate you coming out. If you want to hear the final story we did today, you can go to patreon.com/cultivatepodcastnetwork and sign up to get bonus Am I the Asshole stories every Friday, as well as ad-free episodes. On top of that, if you want to hear more, please consider subscribing to the show and giving us a rating and review on whatever platform you are on, or you can share the podcast with a friend. And don't forget, you can submit your own Am I the Asshole stories to us using our email, redditonwikipod@gmail.com, or sending us a DM on Twitter and Instagram @redditonwiki. I'm not even going to put myself up when we're doing the YouTube. It's just you two up there. So enjoy that, YouTube subscribers. Let us know what you thought of these stories down in the comments on YouTube. Thank you very much for listening. And thank you, Lindsay and John, for your rendition of ball tickling I saw there at the corner of my eye.
Don't forget the balls.
And we will see you on Monday. Bye.
Gok Gok 3000.
Do it. Just do it.
Expert in fucking matter. For the fifth time, it's your boy Sean.
Audible is the largest collection of audiobooks and podcasts.